Good morning. My name is Wes. For those of you who might not know me, I want you to know that I love you, that you matter to God and you matter to us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we continue to worship. Thank you for songs of poetry that lift your name. Thank you for communion. Thank you for the reminder of the cross. Thank you for the word of testimony given about your powerful spirit that helps to heal our brokenness. And Father, may your word go forth and bring much fruit. Help us today understand the power of group prayer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Today is titled, Group Prayers Are Powerful. Group prayers are powerful. You know, throughout redemptive history, corporate prayers have always mattered. It's always been a primary feature of God's people, the redeemed. In Genesis chapter 4, you have Seth and his descendants. They begin something called calling out on the name of the Lord. The Israelites would deem God's house in the book of Isaiah a house of prayer. The early church in chapter 1 says that they were devoted to prayer. God's people have always been a praying people. I want you to listen today because there is something special and dynamic that happens when we pray in groups. That listening to the prayers of other people, listening to their voices being raised, that God answers some prayers, especially when we gather together at God's people. This past week, I met with a young man named Dan Peck. Some of you might remember him. He grew up and went to church here through junior high, high school. Dan is one of my all-time favorites because he is cray-cray. We have lots of laughs together. He's deciding what, he's a worship leader up in Cincinnati, and he's deciding what his next steps are vocationally. So we met at Java Johnny's, and we talked about that. And then he went into the old stories of Extreme Church, and he brought up a story about a summer where we had a revival. I mean, it was like white hot fire for about 16 weeks. I believe 100 students came to Christ. Dozens of parents, school administrators, teachers, people were just getting saved week after week after week. It almost became, that was the usual thing. Half dozen to a dozen kids, they would be filled with the Spirit. They would go share their newfound experience. When kids are praying that they will do the dishes correctly, so when their mother asks them why they are doing that, they can testify about Christ, you know that you're in a revival, okay? But that time of revival was led back to the back-to-school retreat. There was a time where our group prayed, and there was a microphone that was open, and someone stepped up and prayed. Then they began to get in groups and pray. And I don't know how long we stayed there, but it seemed like eternity, and it seemed like a second. People just prayed. And we came back here, and we rode that prayer where the presence of God fell upon us for a long time. And it was a special and unique time in prayer. So I want you to listen today because I do believe that God has something for us today. I do believe that there's a fresh anointing of the Spirit that we need. And I want you to hear the story of the early church and how they prayed, where the place that they were gathered together was shaking and the Holy Spirit filled them. After I'm done with the sermon, we're going to practice it. This is an introvert's nightmare today, okay? If you're here today, this is the worst day you could have picked to visit our church. I mean, worst day ever, but you're here. And we'll give you some instructions after the sermon is over, shortly. Let's read the text. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, listen to this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Here's the prayer. Now, Lord, Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. The result of the prayer. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, what had happened is Peter and John were out doing miracles. God was performing signs and wonders, miracles and healings. And then when people would take notice of the signs and wonders and the miracles, they would preach the gospel. And when the gospel was preached, people's hearts were changed and turned back to God. But they were preaching in Jesus' name. The Pharisees and religious leaders came unglued and threatened them. If you preach in Jesus' name again, you're going to get it. And their threat was to be taken serious. These are the same people who nailed Jesus to the cross. So it wasn't an abstract threat or some theory. There was real harm that was to be done. So what did they do? The first thing we see is they report the problem to the entire group. Verse 23, if you look at it, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, why did the prayer meeting happen? Because they were actually threatened. You know, sometimes we think we have to have scheduled times of prayer. Prayer is whenever something is wrong. It should be our actual response to something that vexes you. If a dog is chasing you down the street, what do? You jump over the fence to get safe. If something is wrong in your life, you should stop and pray. But sometimes, what do? We worry. We fret. We try to figure it out in our own wisdom. We plot. We make up all these constructs when God has taught us to go get together, talk about the problem, and pray. Now, they faced all kinds of obstacles. Now, you gotta remember, this was a young, fledgling church. This is not very old. This is a new startup. And remember, these people that are threatening mean business. They will kill you. They will take you to trial and put you on a cross if they have to. And what would happen if you're a leader in a church? You look around, you see your children. You see your houses. Last night, Miles and Elliot, they gathered together in our bedroom. They said, come and see Snuggle City. And they had all these body pillows and all these warm blankets up. And it was the cutest thing you ever see. Miles' little face, come see Snuggle City. I mean, it was some of a movie. And so when you see that, and then you think there's a threat that might happen to you if you preach in the name of Jesus, it's a real threat. That your livelihood, your place of work could be taken to you. How will you survive? And when your children are on the line, we all get extremely protective. What are the obstacles we face? Now, here in America, it's not likely that someone's going to knock on your door and arrest you because you're preaching in the name of Jesus. Mostly the threat is that someone will make fun of you. And that has kept the church paralyzed, because if you believe what the Bible says and you're a born-again Christian, you must be a fool. And the embarrassment of knowing Jesus has paralyzed the church. We also have anonymous neighborhoods. You really can't meet anybody anymore because of mobility. People drive right into their garage. And so the gospel mission is hard to do because of the anonymous nature of our neighborhoods. The entertainment industry has made us numb to God-like things. We have constant entertainment 24/7, and it's made our minds numb. The advancements in medical technology and our cupboards being filled makes a lot of people think, why do I even need God? When's the last time that you had to pray for something that vexed you that bad that you couldn't figure out yourself? Our prosperity has weakened us. And on top of that, sometimes the church's values often match the values of the world with no difference. There's a threat. What can we learn from this early church on how to face problems with prayer within a group? First thing we see is they reported to the group. They actually had a group to go to. And so let me press on you this again. Let me bring up a theme that you should hate by now, that you should be tired of hearing by now. Everybody needs a group of friends. Everybody needs a group to report back to. There's an assumption within the text. So if you're not in a group, if you don't have anywhere to report your problems to, here's what you're actually saying. God, I know the universe better than you. God, I know it's best for me to have a group of friends who pray for me and love me and hear my problems. But I'm gonna choose to stay in isolation and figure this out by myself. That's not good for you, friend. You need a group to report the problems to. Sign up for a small group today. Quit waiting. Are they awkward sometimes? Yes. Or you don't feel awkward going in there? Yes. But the moment that something breaks down in your life and you have the group to report to and they pray for you and love you in spite of you and in spite of what's going on, that's going to be a great day of love for you. What I also love about the early church is this. They were not afraid to say they needed God's Holy Spirit all over again. They were afraid. And with all the threats I listed out that happened to us, we need a fresh anointing today. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us again. Remember, these are the people that saw the resurrection. They experienced the day of Pentecost. The word of God was giving, downloaded to the apostles that were around there. And they come to this problem being threatened and they gathered together and asked God for a fresh power of the Holy Spirit. You, I today need the Holy Spirit to do something fresh. We need to report our problems to God today in groups and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to do a work, to display his power, to heal us, to help us boldly proclaim what we know is true that is found in Jesus. We need signs and wonders to happen. And when people ask, how did that happen? That we give a testimony to the word of grace. Let us be quick to report our needs to the group. And this past week's been crazy around here. Absolutely crazy. You know, we're praying for the roof, right? We're just praying. Like, we need a roof. We don't want to be wet saints. We want to be dry saints in this house. We want to worship in the freedom of a dry building. And you know, water came in a part of our building last week. That was a little depressing. Like, all right, Lord, come on. Well, give us till summer. Help us get that roof on. There's sickness and health. You know, I don't remember the last week that somebody didn't pass away. And we have tons of sickness. And there's never been a time in my ministry where I felt we had to juggle the hospital visits to say, which is more dire? This person might pass away, so I have to go here. You just have a sustaining disease, so we'll get to you on Monday. Because there's so much going on. And then this past week, we had a break-in in our church. Somebody knocked the window out. They came through the kitchen. They didn't hear the alarm going off. Halfway through, it looks like they decided to make themselves a root beer float. You can't make that up. That's only in Middletown. And there's pause for a Dr. Pepper and some vanilla ice cream, chilling. They stole a box of Captain Crunch, went to my office, busted my window out, and ransacked my office. Took nothing. Just came in. And, you know, it was just one of those weeks where it's like, Lord, if you're done with this, just blow this place up. We don't want to die the death of 1,000 cuts. And just praying and trying to get courage. And the Lord spoke to me in some amazing ways on how he's going to encourage us. That doesn't depend on us. He's going to take care of us. But last night I was in here praying. And you know, after someone breaks in, it kind of takes your security away. This place is creepy at night anyway. If you come up here at night, it is scary. I'm telling you, it's like nice right now. After dark, it's a haunted house or something. It's eerie. And I was up here and I was going over my sermon. And last night, you know, I tell you how scared I was. I grabbed one of those plastic coat hangers and I was just walking around the church as I walked around and that thing, scared to death. I braved through it, kept my man card, but I was a little afraid. And right in the middle of practicing my sermon, going over my sermon, those three loud booms went off. And I was standing right here, and I just, you know, I didn't know what it was. We were very afraid. And we all have burdens, we all have needs. But there's a plague among God's people. And I want you to hear this, because I hear this over and over and over and over and over. Oh, yeah, that was fun. I hear this, might not work. There we go. I need you to hear this today. I want the Holy Spirit to do a work in our heart this morning about this one truth. I want to say it a few times. Reporting the problems to the group and asking God to do something? You are not a burden because you have burdens. You are not a burden because you have burdens this morning. How do I know that's a plague among us? Because all the time people say, I don't want to bother you. I'm embarrassed of this. I got this going in my life. Please don't tell anybody. I would like to remain anonymous. Don't let the church people find out about this. And people keep to themselves and stay in isolation with their burdens. And I want you to know that that's where the enemy wants you. He wants you to be alone. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be filled with anxiety. He wants you to think that no one in the whole world cares about you and that you should be ashamed of your burdens. And I want to tell you here today, right now, all eyes on me. Your burdens are not a burden to this church. They're not a burden to the living God. He cares for you. He loves you. He died for you. And don't let the enemy fool you anymore to thinking you're the only one who suffers from that problem. Your family's messed up? Welcome to the club. You're having financial problems? Welcome to the club. Your life's broken and you don't know what to do? Welcome to the club. His grace matters more. He loves you and cares for you. Your burdens are not your burdens. It is a joy to hear your problems. It is a joy to know that we have such a powerful God that He can do something about it. We serve a mighty, loving God. And whatever your problem is, He has the answer. He is the answer. And my God loves you, and you have nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus walked to the cross. That was shame. He bore your shame, so you didn't have to have guilt and shame. He knew your problems. He died for you while you were a sinner. And let's erupt into that truth that you are not a burden. You are not some financial note asterisk at our church. We are here to love you. We are here to listen to you. We are here to be behind you. And whatever you face, your problems are our problems. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Bear it. We go to the throne of grace together. And if you are our weakest member with the most problems, we love you and you are welcome here. We care and love for you. So all this stuff about, I don't want to be a burden, my problems, and I'm messed up. Friends, you have no clue. If I wrote a book about this place, it would be a New York Times bestseller if I let it all rip, I promise you. God's grace is sufficient. How did the early church have this powerful, this mature of a prayer? Point two, God's word shapes our group prayers. They were able to pray this mature kind of prayer. They were able to come to the Lord and pray because these were some Bible studying people. They knew their word. This prayer is laced with doctrinal truth. This prayer is laced with the history of God. This prayer, these people knew the word. They knew it deep within their soul. They're quoting Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. You know, they just go through a series of teaching here. This prayer is powerful, but there's no way that you can do this unless you know your Bible. This past week, we had the privilege of doing the funeral of Burl Lovelace. And this woman was a saint. They brought in her Bible and showed it to me. You couldn't even read it. It was so marked up. Every word was crossed, sermon dates and notes, and had favorite Bible stories. She rightly divided the word of God. I bet her prayers were powerful. I bet they were mature. I bet they were holy. I bet they were pleasing because of what she knew. In this prayer, they declare the majesty of God. They reason with God. Like, as Jake was praying, if you heard Jake talking this morning, he reasons with God. If you gave me your son, then you're going to help me fix a busted pipe in my basement. If you gave us your son, all these other things are lesser. If you created the heavens and the earth, you see, they start to reason in their mind, and the Bible refreshes and renews the spirit about who God is. They call him creator. The book of Job says, consider this animal. Consider this person. George Washington Carver was taking walks and he was praying with the Lord, and he's asking God big questions, and he said, God, help me understand the mystery of the universe. He said, George, that's much too big for you. Well, help me understand the problem with our nation. George, that's too big for you. God, help me understand a peanut. Just the right size for you, George. We can learn a lot by one simple, small thing in creation. Consider the ravens. Consider his majesty, and you see how vast, how big. We live in an infinite solar system that's ever expanding, and we're hung there on this clay ball. And to think that there is a creator, a God behind that act, and we're told that he spoke it. He didn't pull out a hammer. He didn't grab clay. He actually said something, and it came about. Power. They call him Sovereign Lord. They're looking at the voluntary acts of evil committed by the religious leaders. But they go back to Psalm 2 and they say, the kings of the earth have always been plotting, but the God of heaven laughs. Evil will always backfire and God will always have his way. Friends, I know a lot of you are scared. And I know a lot of you are afraid and of the condition of our nation and where it's going. God will have his day one way or another. You do not have to be afraid. And this is laced in their prayer. They knew that all the evil plans of mankind and the evil, it would be exposed and Jesus would go forward. They prayed the truth of the Bible in the context of their life. Now listen to all what's in this prayer. Now, sit up. I want you to hear this. The doctrine of creation, the inspired scripture, God's reign and rule over voluntary acts of sinful man, Old Testament prophecy, all those things that are in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, help them form a prayer. Group prayers should be modeled by the Bible. Just like I said, if you don't have a group, it's hard to report the problem to. If you do not know the Word of God, which is your responsibility, which is the main task of your life, to know God's truth because it tells us about who he is. Old Testament prophecy, creation, the prophets, the inspired word, the New Testament, the gospel, history, all that, the apocalyptic writings are important for your salvation, for your head, for your knowledge and your heart. Get serious about the Word of God. And when you come into the group and you've been battling and you've been praying like Burl, the whole group brings the buffet of God to the table and somebody will have what you need. You need to be doing that so you have something for somebody else. As we love one another, you studying the Bible is not just for you, it's for your neighbor. So that you will be conditioned to love properly in their time of need. God's word shapes us from the inside out. Third, the exciting part. People taking time to pray because it matters. God fills his people with his spirit during group prayers. Love this. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Kind of like last night, felt like an earthquake. The place where they were meeting was shaken. And it's a beautiful thing because there are a lot of earthquakes in the Bibles, but one of the big ones is when Jesus died on the cross. He gave up his spirit and the rocks were split in half and the veil in the temple was torn. God shook that place because of the evil that has transpired and gave a sign and wonder to declare that Jesus is God. Now, the Bible says the place they were meeting was shaken, but not them. You know what an earthquake is? It's when a greater substance meets a lesser substance. Something has to give way. And when God decided to show up in this prayer meeting, there's nothing on earth that can hold the weight of God. And a greater substance came to the lesser substance, earth, and the place was shaking. And as these new believers were meeting together to pray, and as they had threats against their very children, and it seemed like the world underneath them was crumbling with an earthquake of possibilities, they were okay. They were completely steadfast because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When we pray, God is always the answer. We have a lot of lesser issues, and I don't want to name anything because I don't want to make your issue insignificant, but when all you focus on is what your current issue is, the problem usually in the Christian mind in today's age is your God is not big enough. You have not declared his majesty. What we need is a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. We need an earthquake to happen to teeter and totter our building, but we will not be shaken. And whatever you face today, my friend, no matter what is crumbling underneath your feet, my God is bigger. He loves you. He cares. He has the power. From the flip of his finger, he can cure you. He can heal you, perform signs and wonders, and give you boldness to proclaim his word in a broken and perverse and crooked generation. He loves you, and he deeply cares for you. But we need to remember, Jesus wouldn't tell us to not to be ashamed if there wasn't a temptation to be ashamed. He wouldn't tell us to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. He wouldn't tell us to pray like the persistent widow if there wasn't the chance to lose heart. When you meet regularly with people, when you study your Bible, those chances go way down. You need food for your soul. And church isn't always fun and exciting. Bible study, angels don't fly around my head every time that I open my Bible. But let me ask you something. What did you eat 3 weeks ago on Tuesday? Some of you are weird enough to know. The rest of you do not remember, but you're alive because of that food. And the daily nourishment of God's word, even when it's unexciting, even when it seems mundane, is keeping your soul alive, keeping you afresh for these big God moments. What did they ask for? They first asked for a bold proclamation. The sharing of your faith through the word of God is the most important thing you will ever do when it comes to the mission of God. It's a foolish act to think that I could tell you about Jesus Christ dying on a cross, him going into the ground, raising 3 days later. And that was God's answer to sinful man. When you proclaim that at your workplace, in your schools, in your houses, you need a boldness. And the church is desperately in need of a fresh boldness when it comes to the proclamation of our faith. There's nothing to be ashamed of from a loving, all-knowing, powerful God who loves and cares and who even gave his own son for us. There's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Well, Pastor, I don't know the Bible that well. Well, start today. Start to tell your story like the blind man. Hey, I couldn't see, but now I can. I used to be filled with anxiety, now I have hope. There were lean times in my marriage, but I called out on God and he helped us pay our bills. Tell your story, your testimony. They actually prayed that he would stretch out his hand to heal them. We need a fresh anointing for all the sickness we have in this congregation. People have been sent home and been told there's nothing more the doctors can do for you. And it's sad, it's heartbreaking. It's even depressing at times, but my God is still on the throne and he's still the great physician, and I'm not giving up. I'm gonna swing that bat until we hit that ball here today. Signs of wonders as a testimony to the word of grace. Friend, if we pray in groups that are powerful, if we report that problem, if we have mature prayers that come through the word of God and our prayers are being cleansed through the word of God, the spirit of regeneration, that God will hear us and he will powerfully declare what is happening in our lives. And even though God might show up and shake this whole world, it's his people that pray that will not be shaken. And you can have a great encouragement today. If the band will come up, we're gonna move to the awkward part of our service now. We get about 15, 20 minutes here and we're gonna pray, okay? If the band could come up, we'll kind of play this by ear and see what happens. Instead of me talking for an hour, let's take some time just to pray. Now, all kidding aside, if you're a visitor here today and you wanna leave right now, feel free. If you need to go somewhere, I'm not gonna put a time limit on this prayer. Whenever you decide you need to leave, you can go ahead and leave. So it's not, we're not trapping you in a church and making you do something that you're uncomfortable with or that you're new to or you're really afraid. But I'm promising you, it'd probably be the best entertainment of your week. You can't pay for this kind of entertainment. We're going to get in groups. You can get in your small group, make sure no one sits alone. You're going to report some problems, and then we're going to take some time to pray. The elders, a few elders need to come up here. There's anointing oil. You can come up here, and we will pray over you. Group prayers. And we're just going to see what happens. We're just going to ask God, because here's what I believe. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit like that early church. We need power. I am not a motivational speaker to make you your best you. I'm here to testify about a God who loves you so much he wants to fill you with his Spirit. And he's the one who motivates you and tells you exactly what you need. So why don't you go ahead and gather in groups the best way that you can. Mix up, move around, come down here, come up front. The room's really not set up for us. We're going to make it work, and we're going to pray. So go ahead and get in your groups, and then we'll lead you through a time of prayer.
So do you still want us to sing, or does it
not yet? Okay. Instrumental for now.